good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL each Sunday at noon. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in our studio. The number to call is 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Remember to download our Condo Craze and HOAs app for your iPhone or Android. Here's what the app does. When you download it, at the touch of a button, you have instant access to all the Florida laws governing associations, whether it's condos, HOAs, even co-ops, and of course we give you the Florida Administrative Code, which will come in handy during the election season that we are still in the middle of. You can listen to any past Condo Craze show instantly. Go directly to the show's website, see who our sponsors are. Go directly to the website for Glazer & Associates, our law firm, and find out more about the firm. You can send us your questions and comments even when we're on the air. Read all of our prior newsletters that we send out quarterly. Register for our seminars. One is coming up this week. You can read all of our blog articles that we publish online every morning. Tomorrow's topic should be very interesting. You guys are going to read an interesting email exchange between myself, a president of a community association, and a community association manager about the changes that are coming to the law regarding how much you can charge for an estoppel letter. And let's put it this way, it ain't pretty, this email exchange, and I think you guys will enjoy it. And you get all of this in one Condo Craze and HOAs app for your iPhone or Android device. Just do a search for Condo Craze and let us know what you think. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. That's 855, the number 4, Condo Craze, and our law firm's website, condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com. All right, busy week ahead. We'll start off with this Wednesday, April 22nd. Again, this Wednesday, April 22nd, I'll be teaching our board certification course at the L&L South Florida Condo and HOA Expo at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and that's really going to be a great day. Our class starts promptly 9 o'clock in the morning. There's going to be other classes that are offered throughout the day. Lots of vendors are going to be there, too. And if you register through our website, you can get a voucher for free lunch as well. Just go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com to register. Again, that's this Wednesday, April 22nd. And then at the end of the week on Friday, we have another event 2 days after that. And many of you who are on our email list know that our law firm, Glazer & Associates, is part of a really wonderful group called the Stress Relievers. And this group of 7 local businesses hold monthly get-togethers for board members and managers at various locations. And at each of these events, we try to collect donations for local charities as well. So the next Stress Reliever event is, again, this Friday, April 24th. And we're going to be hosting a delicious breakfast as well and a class at the Coral Ridge Yacht Club. Again, Coral Ridge Yacht Club, 2800 Yacht Club Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. Barry Scar from Scar Insurance is going to be teaching Understanding Association Insurance. Seating is limited, so if you guys want to have a really nice morning, just remember to register, and you can do so simply by calling our office again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Now, like I said, we collect something for charities at all these Stress Relievers events, and on Friday, we're going to be collecting slippers for moms in nursing homes for Mother's Day. We're going to distribute them on Mother's Day. So if you want to attend, all we ask is that you please bring a pair of new slippers or socks with treads on the bottom, and we'll give away raffle tickets for drawings that can be held throughout the morning. So again, 2 great events lie ahead this week, and we really hope to see lots of fans of the show at both.
All right. Well, last week we spoke about what lawyers look for from their association clients. And just like you want your attorney to listen to you, Eric thought it might be even more important for you to listen to your attorney. We also found out that Dan Marino has decided to give condo living a try.
Yeah, Scott missed that. We were speaking about Scott's idol last week. Somehow Marino thought it best to give up his sprawling home in Weston and move into a condo, even though there's like all these no ball playing rules and stuff.
But I thought he was living in he had that big condo in the one behind the courthouse in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, he just bought a condo out there. Exactly.
No, that was like 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Did I just like ruin your whole story?
Yeah, no. Daily Biz Review said last week that Dan Marino bought into one of these very, very high-end. Well, we wouldn't expect him to buy into a low-end condo.
He was tired of mowing the lawn.
Yeah, exactly. But let's expand our attorney talk a little bit and discuss the topic of trials and depositions for a moment. You know, funny how these things work sometimes, because over the past 23 years, I can tell you, I've noticed an interesting pattern in Florida community associations. When money is tight and, you know, foreclosures are soaring, associations are far less likely to engage in litigation. You know, and suddenly nobody really cares what color somebody painted their house or whether or not they have a pickup truck in their driveway again, because money's tight and people don't want to spend it on litigation.
Yeah, and well, you know, in my far less than 23 years of practicing this area of law, I've noticed the same thing is also true of the reverse of that. When foreclosures are low and there's some cash within the association's coffers, all of a sudden everybody's got a problem and the association's going after it. And, you know, listen, it's time to go to the courthouse sometimes because they just don't want to work it out amongst themselves. And right now, you know, that's probably what we're going to be looking at in the near future.
So, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. As funds start to wind up in the coffers of associations, suddenly it's time to go off to court and start fighting these battles.
Yeah, litigation picking up. But yep. I know that not every type of condo or HOA case can go right to court, correct?
That's right. Not every case can go to court. You know, over the years, Florida association law has changed by really removing certain types of cases from the court system that involve community associations. You know, the idea thinking that these types of cases shouldn't be taking up the court's time. And there's a difference, however, in how condominiums and homeowner associations really addressed this issue at the Florida legislature. Now, most disputes in condominiums, they have to start off in arbitration rather than court. And, you know, here's how that works. A petition is generally filed with the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Then the case is assigned to an arbitrator who sits in Tallahassee. And these types of cases generally include, like, election cases, recall cases, material alterations to the common areas, like putting up satellite dish cases, pet cases, failure to properly notice board meetings, failure to provide access to records. You know, again, the idea behind this arbitration statute was to keep what the legislature looks at these kind of like low priority cases, you know, out of a real courtroom, even though when you're litigating them, you know, it's certainly high priority to you.
Yeah, and the one thing everybody has to understand before we get into the subject is that this required arbitration is non-binding. So what that means is no matter what happens, if you can't resolve your issues or you don't feel like the arbitrator came to the right decision, you can always have the ability after going through the arbitration process of going to court. So right. This is not the type of thing like where you agree in a contract to go to arbitration and it's binding and you've contracted out of your right to go to court. This is something that, you know, the courts try to put in there, or excuse me, the legislature's tried to put in there to keep, you know, what would relatively be minor disputes out of the legal system, and hopefully people would, you know, feel like they've resolved them at this stage. Now, even while you're in arbitration, they're going to try and get you to settle, and they're going to send you to mediation also. And you're going to meet with a mediator sometimes, and they're going to try and get all sides into a room, and they're going to try and explain the issues, hash it out, and tell each side not why they're right, but each side why they're wrong, right, and why they shouldn't go to court.
Right.
So that's usually how most of these cases ends. The statute really has one big defect, though, and that's if after you go to mediation and both parties do not unanimously consent to continue with the arbitration, then the arbitration is administratively dismissed and you're either left with filing in court or letting the issue just remain an issue.
All right.
So, you know, why are we spending money on having an arbitration process only to have a mechanism in there that just kind of kicks us out and forces us into a courtroom before the arbitrator's resolved anything has always been a mystery to me.
Such a flaw in the statute. It so completely doesn't make sense. You wind up, the whole idea of the statute was to take cases out of the courtroom and then the arbitrator sends you to mediation, it doesn't settle, and then you're forced to actually go to court after spending all the money arbitrating. So what's the point in all of that?
I always thought the statute was a little ambiguous also, because it also says the prerequisite to filing in court is simply to petition the arbitrator. Now, you can get your arbitration dismissed many different ways as well, and you've already petitioned the arbitrator. So does that mean you've satisfied your prerequisite to go to court? I don't know. The statute seems to say that it does, but you know, I've been told different things by different people, and it's really confusing.
I thought this year there was actually going to be a fix. I know Senator Hayes on this very show said that there was going to try to be a fix this year, but you know, I guess in the legislature, it works the opposite. What's the saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Right.
Well, it works a little differently in the legislature. If it's broke, don't fix it.
Nah, just sweep it under the floor.
Right, exactly. How about we take Ron in Hollywood? How are you, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Glazier, okay. Karen, and everyone?
Hello.
How can we help, Ron?
Hey, I got a question for you. A former president brought a place in here, and now can he run back on the board as our president and try to get back on?
Absolutely.
And can he cause... Yeah, and Kenny caused a lot of friction because he's got two places in here now.
Okay. Just because he was president before, you're asking me, can that prohibit him from being president again? No, it does not prohibit him from being president again. There's probably nothing in your bylaws. There's certainly nothing in the Florida statutes that would allow him to serve on the board again. You know, very few reasons why somebody can't serve on the board.
Felony.
Felony conviction. Very good. Then your rights haven't been restored for 4 years.
You're not
eligible to run if at the time that it's time to run, you're delinquent in payment of assessments. Or once you're on the board, you can get removed and you're instantaneously removed once you're 90 days delinquent. Other than that, you know, if you move out of the community and move back in, even if you were president before, you want to get back on the board again, you feel like punishing yourself like that, the law isn't going to stop you, okay?
Oh, wow.
So that's the answer, Ron. Thanks for tuning in, okay? Let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about mediation and arbitration, how the process works, why I think it's a good idea, and, of course, we'll take your questions on anything and everything else in the condo and HOA world. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your association's, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mack, Mack & Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, mackinsurance.com, or call 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage has set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right, how about we take a call? We go to Miriam in Toronto. How are you, Miriam?
Hello, Eric. I have a question regarding fees. If an arbitrator at the DBPR finds for your case, why do they have the right to decide how much you should be reimbursed in legal fees when you are the one who has spent the money when you shouldn't have had to in the first place?
Yeah.
Why can they not say all legal fees incurred should be reimbursed?
Yeah.
Well, they can.
Why do they have the right to make a decision as to how much you should be getting?
I get you. Just to tell you, the statute gives them that authority to determine, in their opinion, what reasonable is, just like a court has the same authority to determine what reasonable is. But I will say this, and I certainly agree with Miriam in one regard. And Scott, I don't need to tell me if you feel the same way.
No.
In a court, a courtroom, judges are used to awarding attorney's fees all the time.
Yeah.
And I think judges will routinely award the prevailing party really what the attorney billed his client.
And you want to, and here's an interesting thing.
It doesn't work that way in arbitration.
I haven't done an arbitration case or taken one all the way in quite some time. But if I remember correctly, when I was representing associations, I would against a unit owner, I would see the fees get cut down, I think, at a greater rate than they would be if I was representing the unit owner against the association. So the whole point of the arbitration process, in addition to keeping these cases out of the court, I think it basically says so in the actual statute that, you know, because the legislature acknowledges it might be an unlevel playing field with respect to resources between a unit owner and an association sometimes,
right,
that, you know, because arbitration doesn't involve schlepping down to court and, you know, it's mostly done over the phone, and there's little to no discovery that's done, they try to keep the cost down for the people. And if you're going to end up with a unit owner losing and paying, you know, let's say some lawyer $500 an hour for an arbitration case, well, then what was the point of keeping it at a
level? Miriam's case is a little different. Miriam is actually a unit owner who prevailed against her association, and the arbitrators would not give her all the attorney's fees that she incurred. The arbitrator ruling that no, the hourly fee is too high. And I think in a courtroom, a judge is used to dealing with attorneys asking for anywhere between $300 and $500 an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
but arbitrators, no. For some reason, the arbitrators rule that anything above like $225 is outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had my fees cut in arbitration probably at least a dozen times, and I can tell you in 10 years in court and a heck of a lot more court cases than arbitration cases, one time, one case, and I remember it. It was a senior judge that was filling in for Judge Mindy Glazer about 7 years ago.
Right.
And it was one of the foreclosure cases for Ralph. It was the only time a judge ever cut the rate.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the only thing I can tell you is, again, for whatever reason, the DBPR, they have that power under the statute, Miriam, and what is reasonable in the eyes of a court is not necessarily reasonable, I'm finding, and Scott has found, in the eyes of an arbitrator, whereas it doesn't bother a judge, it bothers an arbitrator.
If you submitted your lawyer's bill and said, okay, this is what the unit owner had to put out,
right,
why is it the one who's suffering, the unit owner?
Agreed, 100%. But
that's who's,
you know,
being punished.
The unit owners are
the
suffering.
The lawyer's not being punished.
Understand.
The association's not being punished. The unit owner is the one being punished, and the unit owner is the one who had to incur unnecessary fees, and I don't think they should have that right. I think that legislation should be taken out of their hands.
I understand your argument 100%. That statute was really there to make sure that it's not abused, so that the fees being charged are not excessive
or
abuses. Right. I hear you loud and clear, Miriam. Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank
I wish you well. Okay, how about we go to Jimmy in Deerfield? How are you, Jimmy?
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem with a parking space that I've had, a numbered space that I've had for 23 years. 3 years ago, they started some concrete restoration, and it's an under the building parking space.
Right.
There's 30 other parking spaces also there. They closed the whole front of the building because they had to get the construction work, and they've painting and everything. So 3 years later, they finished everything. Everybody else has got their parking space back. They're using my parking space, which is a choice space because it's right near the entrance of the building. They're using that to store condominium materials. It's on three or four different pallets, and it's the only one. It's right near the front of the building, so it's a choice space, which I paid extra. And it states in the bylaws that a member's unit at the time it was purchased is irrevocably assigned a parking space bearing a designated number.
All right. So I hear you loud and clear.
Wow.
In other words, I would have to take a look at your governing documents, because it could be a couple. There's so many different ways that associations deal with parking issues. Sometimes parking spaces are actually deeded. You actually get a deed from the developer to your parking space.
No, this isn't deeded, but it's specified in the documents and in my bill of sale from the other unit, which I paid additional money. But it also says that these spaces can only be used for automobiles no other objects or anything like that
there. Jimmy, you're jumping, though. You got to let me finish my thought.
Yeah.
Because one way is a parking spot is deeded to you. Another way that you get possession of your spot is the documents typically say in a condominium they're assigned to a unit, and once assigned to a unit, it becomes a limited common element of that unit.
And I'm guessing they all kind of said that. Right. I really wish they did.
Right. And I'm guessing that's what's happening in your spot, in your situation. Yeah. So once it becomes a limited common element of your unit, you know what limited common element means? Only you get access to it, period. End of story. Only you. So they don't have a right to take that spot, which only you have a right to occupy, and store materials in it. And if they're doing that, I think you have a right to probably file, in this type of a case, a arbitration proceeding and have an arbitrator rule that they got to get out of your spot. And if you win, as Miriam said before, you'd get your reasonable attorney's fees back, hopefully meaning all of your attorney's fees back.
Did they give you another spot, Jimmy?
Yeah, they gave me a guest spot, which isn't covered, and I've been getting damage from the sun being out there for 3 years. You know, I could see while they were doing the restoration of the building, everybody had the same problem. Right. They had to go in a guest spot, but now I did read in 718 that since it's a common expense, a lot of times that becomes what you said, a limited
common element, right? Yep.
So. It's on three pallets. All they would have to do is bring a high-low in and move it back to the other side of the building where they're going to do the rest of the restoration because they're finished on the front. And I talked to the management company, and they say, well, we have no way to move it. So,
well, they got to figure out how to move it. If bottom line is if your documents say what I think they say, they can't occupy your space. It's yours. They can put it on common element portions. They can't put it on limited common element portions. So if you want us to take a look at it, just give us a call in the office, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855-4 Condo Craze. I'd be glad to take a look, Jimmy, and let you know what I think. But let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
With so many management companies promising that they can help your community, how do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best, providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide. Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. The low-cost, practical solution to repairing aging pipes and sewer problems. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies. 561-853-5463. 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This is South Florida's number one local choice, 850 WFTL, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officers and directors insurance and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Has a flood or other disaster struck your community? Is your association in need of water and fire damage cleanup, floor care, commercial cleaning? Then call the company with nearly 70 years' experience. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24-7. ServiceMaster Remediation 24-7 cleans upholstery, tile and grout, marble, vinyl and linoleum floors, even wood. If your association has suffered damage as a result of fire, call ServiceMaster Remediation 24-7 for help with fire damage restoration, complete structural cleaning, duct cleaning, smoke and odor removal, and more. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24-7. If your association needs help with water damage restoration, water extraction, structural drying, floor drying, carpet cleaning, mold remediation, and odor and stain removal. A team of trained, caring, and professional water damage technicians will be on site quickly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When a disaster happens, call the regional company with the national response team. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24-7.
1-866-969-6653. 1-866-969-6653.
Or visit ServiceMaster247.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585.
All right, let's go to Shirley in Boca. How are you, Shirley?
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I love your program. It's very interesting. I've listened for a long time, never called before, but now there's a little bit of a problem. And your producer said I could name the development.
Go right ahead.
Century Village in Boca.
Ah, my mom's in Century Village in Pembroke Pines.
Oh, that's not, very nice there. Yes. I visited a friend there several times, and it's lovely.
So I understand you got a question about all those buses that ride around the community.
Yes, yes. I'm here 16 years, but there's a lot of my friends and people that I know are here, like, you know, 30 years, and as long as it was built.
Yes.
But now we have a problem. A new company took over the bus company, and instead of having six, we have the inside buses and the outside buses. I guess you know because your mom lives in...
That I don't know, but okay.
We have six buses that go to the buildings, pick us up, and bring us home. And
yes.
But they don't go out of the development. They
gotcha.
Take you to the clubhouse where we have the big buses to take you shopping.
Right.
It's lovely.
Gotcha.
Great. A new company has taken over. They're cutting the six buses inside to four. And they're cutting hours. Instead of every half hour, it's going to be every hour. And they're ignoring the... permanent residents that live here all year round, and they're only going to do this when the snowbirds are here. So May 1st, when the snowbirds all leave, that's when it's going to start. We're upset, number one, because many of us are in walkers and wheelchairs and canes, and we don't like every hour. It's difficult for us.
Yeah. So this is only going to be in effect, this limited schedule is going to be in effect, what, from like May, June, July, August, September, something like that?
Well, we're told just until May, yes. But I don't know if it's going to be for permanent. I don't know if it's permanent or just, you know,
right.
Yearly. We're not sure about that. But the management company told us it's good because they're going to be saving over $200,000 a year.
Right.
But it's not good for us because we're still going to be paying whatever we started paying from
right.
day one. They're not going to give us a break of any kind. It's
right.
in our maintenance. And also it's very difficult for us because of the heat and the rain and the weather is not good.
Yeah.
So is there anything that we can do, or is this it?
I hear you loud and clear. Scott, I'm thinking, you know, this is the type of decision that unfortunately lies in the with the discretion of the board of directors. If the board of directors thinks that it's makes sense to save $200,000 by providing less bus service, then they probably have the discretion to do that, no questions asked. You know, the only way I may change my mind on something like that is if, you know, life, health, or safety issue.
Right.
You know, and yeah, but I don't know if you can go and make an argument like that, because they're still going to be providing the bus service, but just on a limited basis. So, you know, not to talk like a politician or something like that, but their only real way out of your problem is get a new board in there that agrees with you. That really, truly may be the only way for you to solve this dilemma. And I get it. I get that it's a problem in the community. I certainly do, and I feel for you. But that type of decision, in other words, if you challenged it in a court of law, a judge would look at it and apply what's called the business judgment rule and say, I'm gonna yield to the business judgment of the board of directors that think it's okay in this community to get away with a limited bus schedule when these snowbirds go back up north.
Yeah,
of course, there's been a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions among ourselves, and we're very unhappy about it, but you're right.
Yeah. How you show your unhappiness is at the ballot box in this situation, when it's time to run.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to do, you know that.
I sure do, Shirley, but I wish I can help you, but I don't think there's much I can actually say in this regard.
And another thing is the inside buses are small. The shopping buses are large, and there's no problem. But on the small buses, if two or three people on walkers and canes get on the bus, they're going to be very crowded now because they're cutting two buses out. And
maybe you'll have a situation where they'll try it for a period of time and see that it doesn't work, and maybe they'll go back to the way it used to be.
It's also maybe...
Well, that sounds fair,
It's also maybe an opportunity for some entrepreneur to come in there and provide a low-cost, bus service as well.
Right, for a better price. Like maybe they can shop around.
Like an Uber for only Century Village.
We still have to continue paying for what we were paying for before.
Right, they're not dropping your monthly assessments.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
If they're saving $200,000.
Yeah, it should mean that everybody's assessments go down a little. I agree with you. But, hey, you want us to take a look at your budget?
That?
Hey, give us a call. We'd be glad to take a look at your budget. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Shirley.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you be well. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Remember the bus case? The one in Aventura?
Yes, I do remember the bus case in Aventura.
We actually did
the bus case.
That was this case, only a little different because it involved a service not provided by the associations. But a lot of people don't know this, but Aventura wasn't technically a city until, like, I don't know, what 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe?
Exactly, yeah.
And yet you still had all the condos, and there was actually no municipality that provided bus services. So there was a private service that everybody just assumed was a part of the condos.
It was just like a joint agreement that they all had to provide.
I think
these
it was called, like,
service.
The Joint Council of Aventura or something like that.
Exactly, right.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Right. All right.
Good
how
times.
About we go to another Scott, a Scott in Tamarack. How are you, Scott?
I'm very good. Very good.
You got to lower your radio. How can we help?
You got it. Thanks. Eric, I just have a quick question about when an association takes possession of a unit by getting the deed, but we don't get there's still a mortgage on the property.
Right.
And I just need some advice on dealing with investors, what the association needs to watch out for the investors to come in and say, okay, I'll take their property off your hands.
Okay, so the bottom line is the association is owed money by a unit owner. That unit owner says, I don't want this unit anymore. So they give a deed to the condo association, and then what happens next?
We actually get the deeds through court actions.
Okay, so you actually foreclosed on a unit and you take the property back. Nobody bid against you at the foreclosure sale, and now the association owns this unit, but it's subject to a big first mortgage that's sitting there, right?
Correct.
So now somebody approaches the association and says, have I got a deal for you? I will give you X dollars. Let me negotiate with the with the first mortgagee, and it'll be my problem going forward. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, sir.
And I promise I'll give you X dollars, and I'll pay the assessments going forward each and every month. Now, might not be a bad idea, and sometimes it may be absolutely worth it to listen to such an investor.
If they're actually buying the debt.
Exactly, right, because you have another the potential issue may be if the association just forecloses, again, you're going to wind up with the lesser of 1 year or 1% of assessments. And if this potential investor is offering you something more guaranteed, then it's potentially worth it to actually make a deal with this investor. Now, that being said, the question becomes is, well, if that investor is making that deal, why can't the attorney for your association make the same deal for you that this investor would do? That's the question. And maybe you don't need a middle guy. Maybe you can make the same deal, offer the first mortgage, a lot less than what is actually owed. Try to short sell the property. Remember, you guys now own the property, right? So think what
we own the deed.
You own the property. You have the deed is in your name. So just like what you read about all the time about what short sales are. Short sale is when someone owns the property. There's a big mortgage on the unit, but they're going to sell it for a price that's less than what's owed on it, and they got to get the bank to agree. Well, the association can try to work out that very same deal with the bank. So, oftentimes what an investor is offering your association is something that can get accomplished by your attorney for the association as well. So, each case, I guess, warrants its own merit. That's what I'm suggesting to you. Difficult for me to give you a blanket answer, but sometimes it's worth listening to what an investor has to say. Okay?
Are there any legal pitfalls that we could encounter if we do sell it to an investor?
Is there legal if you dot your I's and cross your T's in terms of a settlement, then I don't see really what the pitfalls could be. No worse than getting foreclosed on by the bank. So probably not if it's done correctly. I think you guys will be fine. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right, Scott, thanks for the phone call. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Is your condominium beginning to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making it look terrible and putting your residents in danger? Are you under orders from the county or city to fix up the condo by a deadline? Are you in need of 40-year certification for your building? Then you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. Carousel does it all. South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor, located in Del Rey since 1979. Carousel knows how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate, 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700. If you want to see the work Carousel can do for you, visit the website cdri.net. That's cdri.net. Carousel Restoration, the cure for your condo. Call 561-272-3700.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new. PD Painting is committed to provide quality service and long-term customer satisfaction. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10-year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. You can rely on PD Painting to tell you what you need in order to make your property look great again. Let PD Painting handle all the details, and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting, 888-416-3204. That's 888-416-3204. If you want to see photos of what PD Painting has done for other condos and homes, just go to pdpaintinginc.com. Again, that's pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
The final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, we were trying before to finish up our topic on arbitration and mediation.
Yes, and by the way, aren't you also a licensed mediator?
Yes, I am, Karen. About 7 years ago, I had the honor of being appointed as a circuit court mediator by the Florida Supreme Court. And for those of you who don't know what mediation is, here's just a brief primer of what mediation's all about. You know, picture a conference room, and a mediator sits at the head of a conference table, and the mediator asks the parties and the lawyers to come in and discuss the merits of the case. Typically, in an association setting, the association is represented by a counsel, and they're the plaintiff. And then you have, of course, the defendant, who's the unit owner, and they come in with their attorney. And the mediator, again, sits at the head of the conference table, and he asks the parties and the lawyers to basically discuss the merits of their case. They make opening statements. And the mediator best tells them that they should resolve the case today on terms that they can probably each live with, even though, you know, neither party that day is certainly going to get everything they want. That's the whole purpose of mediation. It's a confidential setting, and it's designed that day to end the case, put the matter behind you so that you don't leave the fate of your case and your future up to the hands of a judge or a jury. And these proceedings are completely confidential. And really, when I act as a mediator, I always tell the parties that, you know how you know it's a good mediation? If at the end of the day,
everybody's unhappy.
Everybody's unhappy. Everybody walks out a little miserable, then you probably did a good job that day as a mediator. And if the parties don't settle at mediation, you know, they're made aware that, hey, going forward, litigation. If you guys can't settle it today here, you want to litigate, fine. But believe me, litigation is grueling. It's nerve-wracking. It's never-ending, tiresome, costly, aggravating. You know, and those are the good points, right, about litigating. And the most important thing, of course, it's unpredictable. And the truth
good.
Is, yeah, despite, you know, every attorney thinking that their case is excellent, they're wrong half the time,
wow.
right? The attorneys are wrong half the time. And even when you win, look, we had a caller earlier today.
Right.
She won, but she lost.
She didn't get her fees.
She didn't get her attorney's fees back. She didn't get all. So she feels, unfortunately, like a loser, and that's somebody that actually won. So, again, the best part to me about mediation is you settle the case today, and you're leaving nothing open to fate. And a little different. Condo cases don't start out in mediation. Condo cases start
not,
out
not condo, time. Eric.
Condo cases don't start out in mediation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. HOA cases don't start out in arbitration. HOA cases actually start out in mediation. And really, a good mediator should be able to settle these fights between an association and an owner, really in an overwhelming majority of these cases. That's what I think. You know, mediation works, and it's a wonderful idea. I think the HOA statute has it right. Start off in mediation instead of starting off in arbitration or in litigation. You know, as an example, 2 weeks ago, I settled a case that I worked on for longer than a decade. I mean, that's how long some of these cases can go on for. And the terms of that settlement are confidential. But the case, where did it wind up settling in the end? At a mediation conference.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So mediation is binding, arbitration is not?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right in the condo
sure
setting.
Agreed.
Right, you know, that's generally how it works in the condo HOA settings. But, you know, throughout the years, though, in that one case alone, there's been countless court hearings, depositions, client meetings, tens of thousands of pages of documents that were drafted, court decisions that both parties weren't always thrilled with along the way. You know, never mind the expense, the aggravation, and the time along the way. And in that case alone, you know, mediation finally put an end to all of that. And, of course, you know, not every case can be settled, but statistics show that about really 99% of all cases are ultimately settled without going to trial. So at some point, you know, all these cases generally wind up getting settled. So again, I'm in favor of trying to accomplish this early in the process, like the HOA statute tries to do. Because, you know, if you're looking for complete justice in a courtroom, I'm telling you more often than not, you are going to be disappointed.
Very sad.
And how about we go to Bob in Pembroke Pines on that issue? How are you, Bob?
Fine. Yeah, on arbitration mediation, we had one recently where the homeowner came to me. This is HOA statute. Homeowner came to me later on that day and said, they took me today to arbitration, and the arbitrator wanted to know why the manager was there and the paralegal, since neither one of them could answer any questions. Who's responsible for attending?
Is this an arbitration or a mediation? Well, is this a mediation or an arbitration, first of all?
It was for collections, so I'm, you know.
Okay, I'm guessing it was a mediation, okay? That's what I'm guessing.
Right.
So, and the only people that showed up on behalf of the association was a paralegal and the manager?
And the property manager. And both of them told the person, the mediator, I guess, both of them told that person they couldn't make any decisions that day. They would have to contact the board.
Well, I got a problem, at least as far as I'm concerned. The association, if the unit owner sent a letter, a request for mediation properly under the statute to the HOA, and a mediation was actually scheduled, and the HOA shows up to this mediation simply with a paralegal and the manager, then to me, it's as if the HOA did not show up at all. So they participated in bad faith. And now I believe the statute reads going forward that if this case winds up in a courtroom, even if the association loses, the association is not going to get their fees in this. If the association wins, I should say, if the association wins going forward, they're not going to get their attorney's fees because they failed to participate, as far as I'm concerned, in this mediation process. You got to show up
right
at mediation. A, if the association is going to be showing up with an attorney, it has to be exactly that, with an attorney, not just a paralegal. And somebody has to show up on behalf of the association with the authority to settle the case. I want a board member there. And if a board member doesn't show up, you know, with authority to settle the case, then to me, it's as if nobody showed up at all. All right? So thanks, Bob. I appreciate the phone call on that. Yeah, I don't like how that turned out, and I think the association should, quite frankly, get in trouble for doing that. Hey, we got about a minute or two to go, and really, just real quick, remember, Florida law requires board members to get certified within 1 year before getting on the board or within 90 days after getting elected or appointed. One way to get certified is by taking our popular board cert course that has now certified over 10,000 Floridians all over the state. So if you're running out of time to become certified, or if you simply want to come and learn something instead of signing that ridiculous affidavit, then on May 31st, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be back at the Hard Rock in Hollywood. You know, we started promoting this 2 days ago. I can't tell you how many people signed up in 2 days. It's amazing. May 31st, 7 o'clock in the morning, we'll be back in Hollywood. We're going to do our third annual live radio show and day of education, again, in front of a live studio audience. Board cert class is going to be taught. Classes are going to be taught by our sponsors. There's going to be breakfast and lunch, too. Karen, help me out here real quick. Let's go over some of those other classes that are going to be taught by our sponsors. At 7 o'clock, I go on. We're going to have a breakfast. Breakfast buffet, check-in. Check-in begins at 7 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock, I start teaching our board cert class. And what's next? What are the classes
we got? Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg will be teaching how to read a financial statement.
All right, Watch Your Wallet is going to be taught by Association Services of Florida.
Hurricane Preparedness will be taught by Best Roofing, and Disaster Preparedness will be taught by Service Master.
Even the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation is going to be there. Thanks to them for participating. They're going to teach a course called the Complaint Process, and they're always there with lots of educational materials for everybody.
Saving Capital Reserves will be taught by Custom Reserves, and Election and Recall 101 will be taught by Affinity Management Services.
And, of course, at noon, when the classes are over, we're going to do the Condo Craze radio show live and in front of a studio audience. And when it's over at 1 o'clock...
Free lunch!
Free lunch. Join us for a free lunch. Who says there's no such thing as a free
lunch,
right?
There is when Eric's around.
Exactly.
So how does everybody register?
All right, two ways, Karen. First, visit the show's website, www.condocrazeandhoas.com, or just download our app. Click on Register for Our Seminar. Do it quickly. I promise you, that's not a sales pitch. It is filling up. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to Condo Craze and HOAs.